Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's so good to be back. Amen. Even though I'm tempted to think that on a service like this, we don't have to start something new or, you know, try to teach something new again after the kind of dose we had on Sunday. I was telling Pastor, why don't we just replay that message so that, you know, all of us, we can collect one more time. Kai, Pastor Tinu, please celebrate her. She's not here, but let us honor her. It was such a powerful teaching. That's about all we spoke about at home since Sunday till this night. There's always a reason to refer to something that she said. There's a reason to say, oh, this is the wisdom. This is just what is needed. This is what the world needs to hear at this point in time. But then, again, on to the next. Is that not what they say? All right, please appreciate Pastor Philip. You know the next line after that, Abby. Can we chorus it? Clap for yourselves. Finest boy ever lived. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Tonight we are going to be talking about conflict management. How was it couched? Please go over that again. And marriage. Okay, so we are going to be learning on how to handle conflicts and how to, you know, manage conflicts in our relationship. Somebody in Kuba, is it Kuba tribe, has gone to say, Pastor Fumi is going to teach you, we write point after point, something of that nature. It's still the same thing I will do tonight. So you get your pen and your paper. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Speak to us. Let us not leave your presence the same way we came. Empower us with all that we need. Give us wisdom. Let your wisdom instruct us tonight so that our lives will never remain the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is conflict? I'm going to take a definition from the crowd and then I'll move on. Or one or two definitions. When you hear conflicts, what comes to your mind? War. Wow. I think it's already up to that. Okay. Any other one? Any other person? Disagreements. Fantastic. Again. Quarrel. Someone said quarrel. Okay. One more. Wahala. Violence. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so with that now, I believe that, you know, we all know what we are trying to talk about. In marriage and relationships, the possibility of having a disagreement, the possibility of disagreeing over issues, and series of issues too, you know, is inevitable. There is absolutely no way that a man and a woman will meet for the first time and then start a journey together and never disagree about anything. Because the mere fact that you are a man and she's a woman already is ground for disagreement. Men and women are different in a lot of ways, but I'm not going to be talking in that particular direction this evening. So what you can do is to minimize the frequency of disagreements in your own relationship. That is what you will commit to. That disagreements will not occur, that is not possible. I cannot promise you that. No matter, you know, how long you stay together, no matter for how long you have known each other, there will still be something that will come up one day that you'll be on opposing sides, you know. But to minimize quarrels, to minimize conflict, and to handle them in such a way that your relationship is not destroyed. To handle them in such a way that your relationship does not pay for your differences. Okay? If we don't hold peace in high priority, and I'm going to talk about peace later on, there would always be a reason to talk back, to fight back, to insist on your own right, insist on your own belief. And you would actually be correct, you know, when you are insisting like that. It's just that the love that you share with your partner will suffer. Your marriage will suffer when you decide to always insist on your own right. Ephesians 4 verse 2. Ephesians 4 verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. The Bible says you should be patient, bearing with one another in love. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic. I believe I'm reading from NIV. All of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and be humble. These are some of the scriptures that have guided me in my own relationship, and I'm borrowing them to you from tonight. To avoid conflict in your relationship, to manage conflict in your relationship, these are the things that you need. These are the qualities that you must imbibe in your relationship with each other. You have to be humble. And this is for both men and women. You don't know it all. Just accept from now on, you are not always correct. Accept it from now on. And in humility, build so that you will have the marriage that you desire. You have to be patient. If you will avoid conflict in your relationship or bring it down to the barest minimum, patience is one of the keys to doing this. It's not everything that you react over. It's not every time you give a piece of your mind. It's not every time you speak. It's not everything that annoys you that you say. My husband did something last Sunday, not 2 days ago, you know, or is it Upper Sunday, that I didn't like, and I didn't say anything. Because really, is it every day that I would not be saying, you see, I don't like this, I let it pass. Only for him to do it again on Sunday. I entered his DM. It's through chatting. Excuse me. And he said, no, now. I said, I didn't talk last Sunday. We have done it again this Sunday. So if I don't talk now, maybe you'll do it again next Sunday. Did you correct yourself? Please clap for Pastor. Hallelujah. So be patient with one another. Be patient. Some people are in relationships and they are so defensive, you understand, that everything, they count everything as an attack. They count everything as a disrespect. He wants to cheat me. She's walking all over me. She's trying to disrespect me. Any little thing is because she has money more than me. They are always in that position. There will be no peace if you take that position, okay? The Bible says, bear with one another in love. To avoid conflict, you would recognize that this person is not perfect, that they are struggling in these areas. You know that this is bad about them. But if you have chosen them and you are already married, you understand, you manage the situation. You bear with one another in love. You manage. After all, most of these things that even lead to quarrel, they are not such big deal. They are not such big deal. When I talk to people who are in relationships and they are quarreling, you know, sometimes I don't even really like to dabble into relationship people, because I feel like you are not ready for life. Plus, you have options. This relationship is not a life sentence. So if you don't like what this person is doing, if you don't like what this person is saying, you know that maybe I should move on quickly. Married people cannot move on, so they are more serious. I cannot count how many times I've had to say to people that this thing you are fighting about, like, it happens in marriage and the marriage goes on. They are happy. If you leave this person based on this thing alone, except you are not telling me the complete truth, if you leave this person based on this, the person you marry, you will still see this kind of thing is normal. Do you understand? So bear with one another in love and be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. Some people react based on past experiences. We'll get there. Some people are fighting some battles. When you are with them and you realize, just like the story Pastor was telling about his issues with alcohol, when I realized that I was torturing him with my argument, I let it go. Do you get? It's not like I have a brewery somewhere or a beer parlor. I'm not gaining anything from that particular argument. I was just stating what I feel. And he was so passionately angry. Every time he comes up, he will argue and argue and argue. And because I'm not a very serious person, I'm phlegmatic. So I'm not a very serious person. I enjoy teasing him. He will now be parrying. I'll be smiling in my mind. Do you get? So I'll be torturing him with it. But on that day, I realized, okay, let me just let this thing go. There's no need. Thank you very much. Okay? Be sympathetic. Be kind. Do you understand? I was talking to a woman. She had a lot of issues in her marriage, but basically around sex. So when we spoke, the husband was willing to talk to me. I don't do coaching. I don't do sex coaching for men. Only women or a man and his wife together. So I just spoke to him briefly on the phone and I realized, what a selfish fellow. We had not spoken for 5 minutes. He must be satisfied. That is what he knows. On top of this matter, he must be satisfied because he paid bride price. I caught the call. How much did you pay? What was bride price? What kind of thinking is this? I was so furious. You cannot approach a relationship like that. There will be no satisfaction in the relationship, both for you and for your partner. Do you get me? The Bible speaks about Moses, that on the face of the earth, Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. See how the Bible describes a man. The Bible says he was very meek above every other person. No wonder God was so attracted to him. No wonder God loved this man so much. God dealt with him like he dealt with no other person. This is what meekness and humility can do for you. When you are humble in your dealings with your partner, see, God, humility. You take corrections in humility. God said, with him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. The preceding scripture, God was saying that there are prophets amongst you. I show myself to them, or I speak to them in visions and in dreams, but not my servant Moses. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. He was speaking to Aaron and their sister, Miriam. He says, why are you not afraid to speak against my servant? If you are a man that your wife will fight for you, anywhere, you would have to put on the garment of humility. If you're a woman, that your husband will do anything for you, fight anyone for you, protect you at all costs, you have to put on the garment of meekness. Hallelujah. Did you gain something from that? Did you? All right, let's move on. Causes of conflict. Conflicts are inevitable. We can't push them away totally, like I've said. And that is because there are factors that lead to conflict, many of which we cannot do anything about. During the panel discussion, thank you. During the panel discussion, you know, Mr. Akinola already mentioned stuff like finances, right? He talked about sex. These are areas where couples tend to fight over, or that cause conflict amongst couples. Now, I want to talk about the root of conflict, so that with that understanding, when you are now dealing with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband, you understand, you have a better understanding. Because in conflict, when couples have conflict, you know, the other person is just thinking, this one is just stubborn. Why don't you just do what we are saying? Why don't you just cooperate? It's not as easy as that. Number one, there are natural differences. Between every one of us seated here, natural differences. Those natural differences are enough to cause disagreement. Somebody may say, she doesn't greet me. Do you get? The other person may say, I don't greet people except I have something to say to them. Because what's the use of good morning? Like, what's the use of good morning and nothing is following? Do you get? Natural beliefs, natural differences in beliefs. So this one now is angry. Is it that I'm your mate? That one too is wondering, why is she carrying face? Natural differences. Under natural differences, let's look at family backgrounds. How are things done in your family? How are things done in this person's family? If you understand these things, you will not be surprised. The surprise will not be too much when they make demands of you, or, you know, they ask you for some things, or they get angry over some things. Let me tell a personal story. You see, this is my husband's stepmother that he mentioned, very strong woman. I know that what all of you know about her is that all the things that pastor have said. But I'm a fan of that woman. Very strong. Sincerely, because it is not easy for them to bring you from wherever they found you from. And you came into a house, maybe 8 children were already there, 6 cousins, then, you know, guests, because their father was such a man, guest. And you take charge of the entire house, cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner for like 20 people every day. And this breakfast, lunch, and dinner is not like, hey, let's cook jollof rice. It doesn't spoil quickly. So when we cook it afternoon, we warm it at night again. That's dinner. Then the menu, we keep it till tomorrow lunch. Never. When she cooks rice and beans this afternoon, as you are eating, she has brought out her ewedu. She's preparing for dinner. When she serves you stew, no. Forget it. At least 4 different parts of cow. Cow tail is there. Intestine is there. Cow brain is there. Cow leg is there. And the amala will be so hot. Serves 20 people. Before you wake up, moimoi is on fire for breakfast. I'm not lying. Pap, everybody. She will buy a bag of beans, pour it on a big table, be picking it. They pick beans in their house, one bag at a time. I'm telling you, everybody surround the table, be picking beans. Beans and yam is ready. My husband even says to me sometimes that there's a way Yaupe cooks egusi. I don't think you have gotten it. I think the base is pepper sauce first. The last egusi I cooked, that's how I cooked it. I started with pepper sauce base instead of the water and palm oil base that me I'm used to. Do you understand the kind of woman we are dealing with? Now in my own family, my mother, very educated woman, does not have time for stress. Breakfast, if it's rice today, it's beans tomorrow. The next tomorrow, it is rice. And the next tomorrow, it is beans. And the next tomorrow after that one, it is rice. And after that one, it is beans. It is already written down. Now, lunch, by the grace of God, is Gary. Every day. I'm not lying, my sister is there. That's lunch. That lunch, if nobody is going to tell you that have you eaten, is when you feel like your eyes is about to fall off due to hunger. You go and carry your cup by yourself and drink your garri. Now let's go to dinner. Every night, dinner is eba. This night, tomorrow, amala. Next tomorrow, eba. The next tomorrow, amala. The next tomorrow after that, eba. The next, amala. We used to cook only two types of soup. Ewedu and stew or egusi soup. If we are, it is the turn of egusi soup. You see that egusi soup you used to eat your rice in the morning. Nobody has time for you. We now got married. Can you see how we will have issues around food? Because cooking is a simple task. And sincerely, I eat to stay alive. For me, food is what you eat so that spirit and soul and body, they are together. My husband says food is an experience. So when I whip up jollof spaghetti that does not really have any bearing, he will just be looking at me. That God, where is fried meat? Did you pepper the fried meat? We don't stress. Praise the Lord. Difference in family backgrounds. If we don't manage this story that I just told you, if we don't manage it well, with me making up my mind that I will do better, with him making up his mind that, okay, this is for me, this is not Yaokwe, his stepmother, we will continue to have problems. It's not that we have not had problems around food in the past. We have. Because I just want to keep the food simple. Is it put rice on fire and go away? After 45 minutes, you come back, it's done. Serve it with anything you see. Just eat. But he doesn't like it. Praise God. So do you understand about family backgrounds and how it can affect us and affect our expectations? Another thing is environment. Where were you raised? Where did you grow up? You take somebody from a tama that was born and bred, like Val, very tush. Very tush. You now go to the backside of Maraba. After, you now combine the two of them together. Do you know that they are going to have issues? Because one is going to be like, why are you always making noise? Why are you behaving? Like, what's your problem in this life? And the other one is saying, you are too sluggish for my liking. Is this how we are going to continue? Do you get? It will lead to differences. Let me run quickly. The next one is significant emotional experiences. I believe I've spoken in this line before in church. Significant emotional experiences. If you meet somebody, that is dating his first, this is his first love, this is his first relationship, this person is very different from somebody that has been served breakfast like 15 times. Somebody that has dated across all cultures and all age groups. If you combine them together, it will not really, really balance. Do you get me? It will not balance. Emotional experiences. So this person may be expecting heartbreak. this other one that is experienced, you know, may be guarded a bit. They may not give themselves fully in love, because that's how Emeka said 7 years ago. He's no longer in the picture. And now there is you, that your heart is fresh and you are coming with all of the love that you have. So this will lead to differences. Now, in a situation where every other thing is constant, where, let's say, like my sister and I, we grew up together, so we have the same family background, we grew up in the same, our marital environment, we are the same thing. Well, differences in emotional experiences, but we have shared pains and we have shared happiness too. Personality. The last thing is personality. In as much as we are the same in a lot of ways and we think alike and all of that and all of that, we are different in our personalities. And because we are different, there are still some things that we don't approach the same way. So like I said, I am phlegmatic. I like peace. I create peace in my mind. My sister is sanguine and melancholy. So her emotions fluctuate. I cannot understand her. When she's happy, she's just too happy. Can you keep it down? And when she's sad, she's very sad. I sometimes I've had to tell her that I'm not in the mood to worry. Can you talk about something else? And it's true. There's a huge problem like this. It's dangling. But I'm not in the mood. That's how God made me. Maybe if we give it place, maybe it may go away. Who knows? We'll not be worrying today. I don't want to worry. Okay? So let's bring it to husband and wife. I'm phlegmatic predominantly. My husband is choleric. If not for God. Because we are opposites. You know that choleric is like the opposite of phlegmatic, like opposite. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy teasing him. Because he will just be taking things very serious, very serious. The deadline. Deadline will die and go. It's we that will remain. On Sunday, we are late. Everybody, I will go back upstairs. He will be so angry. You go to the car and press beep, 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 beep. The children will shout, let go, let go, let go. The small ones that cannot talk. Let go. What? It's just 3 minutes later. Because we'll be late, but 3 minutes later. He will now start driving rough. I hate to be late. I'll be trying to hold, to contain my laughter, because... So what will I now do about it? So what should I now do? We are going to be late. I now take his phone. Should I have you sent a message to the leadership? Babe, I will be 5 minutes late, please. He will still be hungry. Why must I be late? Why must we be late? Praise God. So we have to manage that too. Okay? Because it can lead to conflict. We can begin to fight because of that. One day we're coming to church and I was drinking tea. There's a rough, just a very short, rough road. Very short. But this, we are late. He started driving rough. I said, but this tea we pour away. It was in a mug. This tea is going to, please now, hot tea. He said, why must we be late? Why didn't we? I had to hold the tea outside of the room so that the tea will not pour. When Jiro was with us, she was laughing. This kind of thing. By now, fight is supposed to have started. That's what she said. I said, my sister, that's why you have to choose a husband wisely. Okay? As you are choosing your husband, be very strategic. Can you see what I'm going through? The smooth road, like the third road, is not far. We can just drive slowly. But to him, he's already late. Let us be wrong. One day, Sally was with us. I said, hey, Pastor, let's even forget our own children. What of Sally? Is it not better to arrive? What did I say? To arrive late than to be delayed? Why are we driving like this? This is what we deal with every day. And the problem is that I'm even supposed to improve. Even me, I know. I'm supposed to change. But I'm flag. Do you get? As a life is to be enjoyed. Just enjoy people. Enjoy the wise. Enjoy the foolish. Laugh at. Just be enjoying. In your mind, you are not sharing that enjoyment with anybody. You are not telling anybody anything. But in your mind, just at peace. You are not rushing. You want to help people. They don't want to be helped. You leave them. The husband will be very passionate. I have to go and tell the person. I have to. Please give me coffee. Praise the Lord. These are things that you will have to manage in your marriage. Do you get? I'm not going to change anytime soon. I don't even think it's possible. And I don't think my husband will get to a point where he will be able to even behave. He cannot even do it. To behave like me. But we will manage it. So I don't overdo it. I don't over tease him. Do you get? I just sometimes I try to be fast. Okay? Praise God. Another, so I finished that. Natural differences. I gave you 4 points on that. Another thing that leads to conflict is trying to be everything to your partner. Don't do it. There's no wisdom in it. You are just going to quarrel. You are going to fight every day. What are the responsibilities of a husband? Pastor Tinu taught us on Sunday. Who is an ideal husband and who is an ideal wife? You take your job as a husband and face it, as priest, protector, provider, leader. These are the things that you are going to face. The Bible says that the husband should love the wife like Christ loves the church, gave himself for her. That is your job. It's not your job to choose her friends. Do you get? It will lead to friction. It's not your job to stand and say that the Bible says you should submit to me. I'm your husband and you must submit to me in everything. It's not your job. The instruction is for her. Let her do a part of the job while you do your own. Don't ever try to be everything to your spouse. Some men especially, they are guilty of this. You want to be husband. You want to be spiritual leader. You still want to be a fitness coach. You still want to be a life coach. You watch everything she's eating. You want to be a boss at home, a boss at work. You want to be a master and a owner. How will it work? There's a level to which a human being is going to allow you to control them, Christian or not. Your job is not to control. Your job is to love your wife. The same thing applies to women. Okay? Your role is to be a helper. Your role is to show honor and respect. Your role is to submit. Face it. The Bible says that the wise woman builds a house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her hands. Women, you have to especially watch your mouths. Many women are guilty of not being able to simply state their opinion and leave the matter. They are guilty of wanting to control too in their own way. But I've told you not to talk to that person again. I've told you not to talk to that person again. I've told you, you know, until it becomes a problem in the home. And now you leave your intimacy, your friendship, your children, you leave all of that and you begin to fight over that his friend that you don't like. State your opinion and leave it. Sincerely, if it doesn't involve my children, our family, I mean, there's no need to fight. There's no need to actually be arguing about other people or that. No. There's no need. There's so much gisting to do. There's so much talking to do. There's so much fun to do. From Sunday till now, my husband and I, we have been together. It's from one gist to another. From one gist to another. Yesterday, he even wanted to leave me at home to go and shop very quickly. I entered my clothes and followed him. Even though I nearly fainted at the destination. It wasn't even funny. I nearly fainted. At some point, I had to buy sugar cane. It's like a glucose boost to boost my energy. I nearly fainted. Do you get? But so much conversation, so much gisting, so much laughing and talking. Do you get? Don't be fighting. Why are you so mad, God? Don't be fighting, okay? Don't be fighting. Seriously, there's a lot of wisdom in it. Just state your opinion over the matter. Except like it is really about your family or about your children, about your family finances. Hey, you can sit and say, let's be talking back and forth, back and forth. But really, if it's other people, what's your business? You must hate the people that you hate. Really? There's somebody I've told my husband for 3 years that this person is not good. 3 solid years. Every time I have the opportunity, I will mention it. Be careful of this person. This person is not good. You understand? If God revealed the person to me, he has a very dark heart. It's not just that I don't like him. He has a very dark heart. 3 years. I can say it's a matter of 3 months ago or 4 that my husband agreed with me. And even as he was agreeing, me, I've already moved on. That's my business. Just be careful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Another thing that will lead to conflict is insensitivity. You already know that there's something you disagree about. You already know that, okay, this is sensitive in our relationship. You already, you know, just let those things be. Except that relationship is not important to you. Areas of sensitivity like that. Like that issue that Pastor spoke about earlier. Just let it be. Just agree. Okay? There are also irrational beliefs. One day, one man said to his wife that his own forefathers, none of them have ever entered kitchen to go and be cooking. And how will she say that, you know, he should cook? And this woman was not even saying he should cook. He was saying that since you close by 4, get home by 4:45. Please bring out the soup from the freezer. That was the issue. Bring out the soup from the freezer. She closes by, was it 6:30 or 7 then? She was working in a private firm. So by the time she comes home, it was just the two of them. The husband was in the parlor watching anything watchable and very hungry. But he's going to wait for her to come before she will now go and bring out soup from the freezer. Because his forefathers, they don't normally enter kitchen. Now, it is still this same man that cannot eat outside because he has a sensitive stomach. So if he buys food, he's most likely going to react to the food. This woman has given you breakfast and packed lunch. I'm telling you a real story because they are my friends. Okay, you come home like 2 hours earlier than her. Bring out soup. That one now is a problem. His forefathers they don't normally enter kitchen. So your foremothers, were they splitting bills? Do you understand irrational thinking? It led to a huge fight. One day, the woman made up her mind that we can't continue like this. God even helped them. They didn't have children early. They waited for about 2 or 3 years before they had their twins. So they had time to fight very well. As soon as she closed from her own place of work, she doesn't have sensitive stomach. She went to Mama Boots. She ate and she came home. As soon as she came home, she dropped her bag in the parlor, off shoe in the parlor. Let's be watching TV. This is where we'll be. You know? And that's where the real fight started. That's so how far child now? This, now so I see I'm too old. Abby, let's be watching TV. After 10 minutes. Babe, I'm hungry. I've been hungry since. I'm also hungry. Is that not Genevieve? They now started a real fight that made them drag themselves to pastor's office. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, those kind of mindsets that are irrational, and yet you refuse to submit it to the scrutiny of the word. You refuse to look at it under the light of all the other things I've spoken about. Like kindness, like humility. You know, you refuse that, no. This is how it has always been, and this is how it will continue to be. Those things will lead to conflict. So you have to avoid them at all costs. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me skip some things and just rush quickly. Praise the Lord. So what do you do to maintain peace? What do you do to avoid conflict? What do you do to avoid conflict? As somebody that wants to succeed in marriage, as somebody that does not want to waste relationships, because there are a lot of young people here, and I have seen relationships that have wasted. When I have weighed it, I have seen that if only this person, you know, if only this person just decides to be a little bit humble, if only this person will just listen to advice, if only this one will listen to counsel, this relationship would have continued. Number one, you make up your mind. You decide that you will be at peace with your spouse. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Can you see? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If we all choose the ones that depend on us, that I can control this one, I can control my mouth. Do you get? I can control my own emotions. I can control my outburst. I can cook if it is what it requires. Do you understand? As much as it depends on you, be at peace with your partner. My husband likes the bathroom very clean. Very, very clean. I take it as my duty. He didn't even ask me. I just noticed that he likes it. I noticed that he prefers it. I take it as my duty to make that happen. It may not be always convenient. Back then, air fresheners, tissues, liquid hand wash everywhere make our bathroom look nice. Dry at all times. For him. Now the years have passed. I'm even the one that notices if it's not clean. He doesn't notice anymore. What if it depends on you? Make up your mind to do it. If you want to have a successful marriage, always choose peace over justice. Let me tell you, the price of war is more than that of peace. War is more expensive. Disagreements will cost you more than peace. Quarrel will cost you more in your relationship than peace. If it depends on you, choose peace. Hallelujah. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You cannot insist on justice all the time. You must choose peace over justice. The one that chooses peace is often the right one. That's what happened with Solomon. You know, King Solomon and those two prostitutes when they came with their babies. And one said, yes, let's kill the baby. When the king said, bring a sword, I'm going to divide this living baby now. You know the story. I'm going to divide this living baby now so that each of you will take half. There is the one that said, yes, let's scatter everything. Let us destroy everything. You can easily know that this is the person in the wrong. This is the wicked one. This is the troublemaker. And there's the woman that said, it's okay. Just give her the baby. Let the baby live. That was how Solomon was able to decipher. Now, if it's true, this is the mother of the baby. It shows in every relationship there is the peacemaker and there is the peace dweller. That is how it should be. No matter how humble you are, two of you, there's one person that is more humble. Do you get? The peacemaker is the one that will often initiate the process of peace. So if there's a quarrel, if you're in a relationship or you're married, you know that there's one person that will first apologize most of the time. In most cases. The other person who doesn't apologize quickly, you are not wrong. You are only wrong when you refuse to be a peace dweller. In that they have now offered you peace. But no, it's not enough. You will still want to fight. Why? Why must you be fighting? Pastor says so that there will be a winner, that there must be a winner. Why must you be fighting your spouse? What do you think you are doing? As in fighting your own spouse, your lifelong partner, till death do you part. What do you want to do with fight? So the peacemaker is already there. Then there should be the peace dweller. At least if you cannot apologize first, when they apologize to you, embrace them and let go. Okay, who is in a relationship here? Okay, Mr. Banji has volunteered. Who is the peacemaker in your relationship? Your wife is the peacemaker. Who is the peace dweller? Are you a peace dweller? What did you say? Well. Who else? Unmarried in a relationship. Are you an item? That's fantastic. Stand up, please. Appreciate them. Such a fine looking couple. So, in your own relationship, who do you think is the peacemaker? The first person.
Wow.
Is the first person that reaches out after a disagreement. Okay, do you consider yourself a peace dweller? Or do you want to like fight to the end? Fight to finish. You are walking towards it. Hallelujah. Give them a round of applause. This knowledge, use it to your advantage. This little thing that I'm teaching you now. Some of you will say that he is going to apologize first. So that's your pride. You are wasting your time. You are not ready for life. In our own relationship, my husband is the peacemaker. I'm bawling in this marriage. In the last 3 years, I don't think my husband has been angry with me once. I'm not even kidding. I'm telling you. He just doesn't even have time for all those. He hates it. We are now fighting. Fighting that what? He doesn't like it. He doesn't. I'm the chief angry, having reason. So we're angry, amen. And you're not any. It's just because I know he doesn't like to fight. And if I'm unhappy about something, before he will even say, let me understand, let us talk, he's already very, very sorry first. That just forgive me, I am sorry in any way, in every way, every big, big English. That just, you know, don't let us fight at all. And what do? I accept his apology. You understand? We go back to the place of love very quickly. No need to waste our lives. I even hate to fight. One of the reasons why I hate to be in conflict with my husband is that, so I will not kiss anybody. Nobody will kiss me. Which kind of life is that? So what will I now be doing with my life? No kissing, no hugging, no sex. I beg. It's not fight we fight. We live to fight another day. Let's say to, oh yeah, sumo me. Come closer. Praise the Lord. Okay, my love language, my primary love language is physical touch. That's why. Some of you are using Ashewo eyes to look at me. That's how she found herself in that condition. She will not stop kissing. Look at her in her condition. She cannot walk. She's still talking about kissing. No. So physical touch is my primary love language. That is why. Amen to Jesus. Let's move on. Discover areas of disagreement and be on guard. There's what your partner does not like. There's what you two you don't like. There are issues that you disagree on more often than on other issues. If you are in a relationship, if you are thinking about it, you can know that, when we will usually disagree around this issue or because of this issue. Those things, don't ignore them. Don't be careless around them. Are you getting me? Don't be careless around them. If you have issues around this thing, make sure that you are very careful. You use wisdom every time those things are occurring. I have a couple in counseling. God, they fight every August. They fight, and when they fight for like 3 months, nobody's talking to the other person. Every August. Why? The church they attend, they have a particular program that they do for children in camp, ministers in camp. Them, you know, very rigorous, like 2-3 weeks in August that they do for all categories of people. The wife does not like those activities. The husband, on the other hand, is a leader in church. So he cannot be absent. He cannot allow his children to be absent. In fact, he is so pained that that is when his wife will now start trying to be absent at all costs, trying to plan vacation at all costs, trying to, you know. And so every August of every year, they can fight from August till December. No, I'm not even kidding. And so when I came on board, this was what I was trying to help them see. That since you are always fighting over this thing, this August, why don't we come to an agreement? There are other issues, but we can solve this major issue. Not that we wait till next August again to try. You, why don't you want to go? She probably doesn't like the GO of the church. No, she came from another church. The sad thing is that they've been married for about 18 years. She doesn't like the church that she was married into. She doesn't like everybody. It's messed up. Young men, if you are going into a ministry, or God is telling you to submit to a particular man of God, you sense it in your spirit that this information is not even for this meeting. Let me just drop it. You sense that you want to follow this man. You understand? Don't marry. Don't you dare marry a woman that does not like the person you want to follow. The person you say you want to submit to. The person you say you want to learn how to do ministry from. The person you want to call your father in the Lord. The person your wife-to-be does not see any big deal in that person. Don't you dare. You'll be frustrated. Or your wife-to-be looks at the wife of your mentor, you are done for. Looks at the wife of your pastor or the wife of your mentor and say, what? Don't try it. Because you may be doing well on your own in your relationship with that your mentor. Doing well in your relationship with the wife of your mentor. Your own wife will come and carry nose up. That's the beginning of your downfall. Because the wife of your mentor is not going to spare you. So these are areas what led to their own conflict. They are every August fight. And I was with them before August. We're doing so well. I was even so happy. They paid for 4 sessions. We did 4 sessions. They paid for 8 sessions. Bema, you cannot leave us. This marriage is looking like it is now beginning to be sweet. More of everything. Nice. Only for August to come. We are back to square one. I don't even know what to do next now. Because the way I work, I build on the successes. That now that we have been able to achieve this, the next thing to achieve is this. How to now go back to square one? I don't know. I have to send them a message tonight. Praise the Lord. So discover the areas that, you know, cause those conflicts and make up your mind. So be careful. You understand? To apply wisdom. To talk you through or to reach an agreement. Okay? To reach an agreement that is favorable for both parties. In their own case, you could say, okay, immediately after the church activities, let us go on vacation. Okay, you don't have to be involved in all the church activities. Since it overwhelms you and we are already married, there's no problem. Out of these 2 weeks, how many days can you attend? Which programs can you tolerate? Just so that it will not be like my wife is totally absent. Do you get? Negotiate. All right. Let's move on. Determine how to handle issues before they even occur. Talk about it. You know, I'm all for conversations. I'm for talking about it. Talk about it. If we fight now, what do we do? I asked somebody that, what are your fears concerning marriage? He's here. He doesn't have any fear. I don't even know how to respond to the message he sent to me. He's already laughing. Oh, are you pointing? You are correct. have any fears at all. Because I've chosen a perfect woman. The woman I chose is so wonderful. I say your own fear. Leave the woman. Is there anything whatsoever you have seen in any other person's marriage that affected you or that you would not want to see in yours? You cannot take that side and say, we will never quarrel. We will never have a disagreement. No, it's not possible. You will. Because of all the other things that I've spoken about. Not because you're a troublesome person, but because both of you are different. So what do we do when there is a disagreement, when there is a conflict? You have to set those rules and let them guide you. Honor those rules that you make together and let them guide you. E.g., as a couple, no matter what, we sleep in our room. Do you get? We have our bedroom. No matter the kind of fight we are fighting, we must sleep in our room. We must sleep on our bed. I'll be pastor. Where do you want to go and sleep? I will come and meet you there. Do you understand? It is small. We fight, we are fighting. The marriage has not ended. That's how me, I even view this conflict thing. It's my husband that takes it serious. It's just fight, we are fighting. Nothing spoil. But he doesn't like it at all. So I've changed. I don't do that thing again. So I'll be forming serious. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. So no matter what, we sleep in our bedroom. Nobody should pack their pillow and say they are going to sleep because we are fighting. No. Okay? No matter what, you eat at home. That's part of the rules that I had to lay down at the beginning. Because when we have a quarrel, my husband will now not eat. Very funny thing. What are you proving? Explain. You are not eating the food I cooked. Because is your mission what you need or spoon? Because we eat. And because we talk a lot, right? So I'm even faster with the things I have to do when we are quarreling. Okay, when we are not talking. Now, when it's time to go and make dinner, I'll just stand up and go and make dinner. But if we were gisting, then I'll say, I'll go in 15 minutes time. Let's just conclude this particular gossip. You understand? Then maybe after 15 minutes, another 10 minutes. Let's quickly conclude this one. But now that he's not talking to me, I'm not talking to him. I will quickly now rush to the kitchen to go and cook. Then I will serve him. And he will say, he is not hungry. That's what. Why are you not hungry? That I am being nice to him when we are fighting. So what am I supposed to be to you when we are fighting? This fight is not the end. Do you understand my own thinking? We are stuck together. You are my husband. That we are quarreling does not mean that you are no longer my husband or I'm no longer your wife. We are just quarreling, and this quarreling will pass. So eat. But along the line, I now understood him better. That, again, family background that we spoke about. That woman that he spoke about. You know, how sometimes my husband was still saying, not too long ago, that I don't even know exactly what killed my father. It's possible that that woman poisoned him. Because the cause of his death was mysterious. Brief illness. The next thing, he couldn't talk again. The next thing, was dead just like that. Do you get? So he has one kind of fear of women or wives or something. That so if we are fighting and I'm being nice to him, maybe I'm trying to hurt him or I'm hiding something in the food or something like that. I told him that me kill you. Who will pay the school fees of all these children? Who will pay rent? I don't have your time to that extent that we'll go and research how to kill somebody. You cannot escape me. You are not going anywhere. It's just quarrel, we are quarreling. Eat your food, we'll make up later. Do you understand? So we have now put those rules. That's in our own marriage. we have put those rules. One of these days he was still saying, you are so nice to me. What's happening? You this girl. Nothing is happening. You are my husband. Except, of course, pastor, you now decide to marry his second wife. That's when you should be afraid. Praise the Lord. Abby, you will not be afraid. Hallelujah. Okay, so do you get put rules into place so that if conflicts occur, these rules will guide us? Pastor Kingsley and Pastor Mildred, they have a rule like that. We don't leave each other, like say goodbye, without a hug and a kiss, whether we are fighting or not. Kiss me. Whether you are happy with me or not, as you are stepping out, you must hug me. You must kiss me. Those rules will guide you. Okay? Let's move on. When conflicts occur, because it is inevitable, okay? You cannot totally avoid it. Now, when you now have a conflict, you have something that you keep fighting about. And you have tried all the wisdom that you know. As a person, you have tried. Your partner too has tried. You have shifted grounds. You have tried to talk about it. It's just that it is not going away. What do you do? After putting in your best effort. Thank you. After putting in your best effort and nothing has changed, what do? You seek help. Seek help very quickly. Seek help. Don't wait till you have been fighting over the same thing for 10 years and the thing has not gone before you reach out for help. In this part of the world, you know, people say things like don't bring a third party into your marriage. Don't involve third party. I don't know who they are calling third parties, because it's not a professional like me. I don't know who you are calling third party. Don't bring a third party. So you will now let the marriage die. That's what happens. After years and years of quarreling over the same thing, not seeing eye to eye on a particular matter. Now, the matter in itself is not very significant. When you look at the big picture, when you look at lifelong commitment, when you look at lifelong intimacy, when you look at the children that you are bringing up together, when you look at the fortune you are building as a team, this problem you are fighting about now, this issue, it's very small. But because you didn't nip it in the bud when it started, when it refused to go away, it has now destroyed every other thing. Now your communication is almost no longer there. Friendship has died. Companionship is not there. And the fight started over, I don't know, there are always little things. You just needed a new perspective. You just needed somebody to tell you what to do. Probably somebody to instruct you, like Pastor was saying. Maybe somebody to command you that I am speaking to you as the authority in your life. You, this woman, go and do this going forward. That would have saved you, but you kept it. You kept it between the two of you. But every Sunday, you will find them the same uniform and be wearing to church. Everybody will say, best couple goes. From church, you fight till you reach house. Fight all week till next Sunday. When you see him bringing out his green clothes, you bring out your green clothes. Off to church again. When he brings out pink, you too, you bring out pink. Off to church again. Don't do that to yourself. Okay? If you cannot get to the bottom of it by yourselves, the two of you, who do you respect? Who do you honor? Who do you think can help you? If you are ashamed, now, okay, I attend this church. I don't want Pastor Fumi to know my story so that she will not use it to tell a story when she's preaching. And I don't do that. I do my best not to do it because story day my hand. I try not to use the people in the congregation, their story. If you say, I don't want Pastor Fumi to know, no problem. Who do you want? Who can you trust? There has to be somebody, or pay a professional. Do you understand? So that they can help you to quickly deal with it. Many people wait till the feelings of love have now died over the matter of finances. Finances was the problem. How do we put money together? How do we spend money? That was the problem. Instead of them to deal with finances, enough wisdom available on how to deal with that, they left it. Now they have lost everything. And when you see them in counseling, your own first job is even to try to rekindle the love. How did you meet each other? How did you fall in love? Where did you meet? That's where you start from. Let there be some warmth in the atmosphere. This coldness is too much. They have gotten to a place where they no longer care about each other. Indifference is a terrible thing to encounter. That you look at your spouse and no feelings, nothing. Just a human being walking on two legs. That's all you see. Okay? Don't let that be your story. Reach out for help very quickly. May the Lord bless His word.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.